Welcome to Love Rules, the radio ministry of Roxbury Presbyterian Church in Boston. My mom, Liz Walker, was Boston's first African-American television news anchor, but her most important job is what she does right now at RPC, preaching the good news about God's love. The Bible says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. How does that work? Join my mom now as she offers us Love Rules from Roxbury Presbyterian Church.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Love Rules. Today's message, God of the Turnaround. And our text is Isaiah 40th, 1 through 5th verses. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. That is such a powerful text, such a strong statement about God's power. Picture the opening scene of this text as the prophet Isaiah depicts it. The God of Israel has assembled a heavenly host, servants of the Most High, to speak to his people. It is a message of compassion and mercy. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. You are quite familiar with the beautiful language of today's text. Its words are literally the music of this season. Comfort my people. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. The phrases are all part of Handel's Messiah, the glorious Christmas oratorio created by one of the history's greatest composers. The story goes that when Handel debuted the music in 1742 in Dublin, Ireland, an enthusiastic member of the audience congratulated him for a wonderful piece of entertainment, and Handel was incredulous. Entertainment? That was not his intention. He scored his text to teach people about God. And some may be just as confused about the prophet Isaiah's motivation. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. While this passage is majestic and lyrical, it is poetry, but its power comes from the fact that it does not stand alone. Chapter 40 actually begins what's known as 2nd Isaiah. It follows 39 chapters that explain the desperate state of the nation of Israel in biblical times. It has fallen into deep moral and spiritual decline. It has shown arrogance and injustice against the poor and the weak. You see, Isaiah is speaking to Israel about its disobedience of God. Chapter 1, ah, sinful nation, people laden with iniquity, offspring who do evil. Chapter 3, Jerusalem will stumble and Judah will fall because they speak out against the Lord and refuse to obey him. The first book of Isaiah is a book about God's judgment. You see, so you have to go through 39 chapters to see what disobedience means and what the consequences of disobedience are. This turmoil is unfolding for the entire first half of the book. And then in chapter 40, the prophet abruptly and dramatically shifts his focus. Through the guidance of these heavenly voices, Isaiah's tone changes from judgment to comfort, from justice to mercy. Now, some scholars argue that this book could not possibly be the work of one prophet. It has to be many, many people writing. It covers too great a period, the reign of several kings. There are inexplicable breaks in the timeline and a difficult chronology. But I would suggest that there is theological insight in the way Isaiah structures his prophecy, insight into the nature of God that resonates strongly during this Advent season. It is a time of expectation. You see, in the midst of Israel's disobedience, while it is just beginning to stumble into its time of crisis, the prophet speaks for a God who can see a future that Israel can't begin to comprehend. God who can get them to that future through and only through His grace. Comfort, oh, comfort my people, says your God. The seeds of Israel's change take root in the soils of its adversity. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Cry to her that she has served her term. Even though Israel has turned her back on God, God has not forsaken Israel. Despite the disobedience of His chosen people, God stands ready for their turnaround. As a matter of fact, God is the author and perfecter of that turnaround. The prophet Isaiah speaks for the God of the turnaround. No matter how bad the situation, it does not have to stay that way. No matter what you have done, you don't have to be labeled by your worst act. There is time for change. There is time for transformation. There is time for a turnaround. You see, we serve a God of the turnaround. I am so thankful you've joined us today. Remember, Love Rules is totally listener supported. Won't you make a donation right now to keep this program on the air? Log on to RoxburyPresbyterianChurch.org and click on Giving. That's RoxburyPresbyterianChurch.org. Click on Giving. Thank you. God bless you. We serve a God of the turnaround. You know, in the middle of the worst crisis we can go through, in the middle of our chaos, God is standing by with comfort and correction. That's what I see in the book of Isaiah. And I have read this entire book. I have read it in its entirety. It's taken days to do that. It's not something you can just sit down and do. At least I couldn't just sit down and do after an evening meal. But you should read the entire text, because then you can begin to see the trajectory. You can begin to see how God moves. You can begin to see how change happens. I'm talking about God who can speak joy into despair, who can speak hope into our hopelessness. This is the God who spoke to the ancients, and this is the same God who speaks to you and me. A God who is always willing to turn something down into something up, something bad into something good, something dead into something alive. Our God is a turnaround God. Now, when you think about it, turnaround is kind of a theme that runs throughout the Bible. That's what most of the stories in the Bible tell us about. When the Israelites were fleeing Pharaoh and found themselves facing the Red Sea, God turned that water around. When Joseph's brothers threw him into a pit, leaving him for dead, God turned that end game into a new game. When Paul and Silas were thrown into prison, God caused an earthquake that opened up the prison doors and turned their situation around. And then, and this is what I love about my God, not only turned their situation around, but He had the jailers kind of rethinking their lives. And those who witnessed were beginning to see who this amazing God is. When Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, the universe was completely turned around. But you see, in order to reap all the benefits of a turnaround God, you have to learn to become a turnaround believer. That's one of the greatest lessons of the Bible. That is a stepping stone of faith. It is what God sent Jesus to teach us. In order to be born again, you must die to your old self. You see, that's what Paul talks about a lot in his letters to all the churches. In order to save your life, you must lose it for the sake of Jesus. So there's always something that we have to think about. There's always something that we have to do. And this turnaround experience, which is caused by the Holy Spirit, which is absolutely the goal and plan of God, is for us to understand so that we can begin to live our lives for the future. The benefits of this turnaround experience, you see, is abundant living. You begin to lean into God's preferable future for you. That means in the midst of chaos, you can have peace. In the midst of trials, you can experience joy. In the midst of adversity, you can know God's comfort. Comfort, comfort my people. You know, it's hard to know that unless you experience it. But the goal here, I'll tell you what the secret is. The secret is to be focused on God, not on your circumstances, not on your own goals, not on your self-reliance, but to be focused completely, dependent completely, reliant completely, and trusting completely in God. There is comfort for you this Advent season. But there's also a caveat, a warning. Just as it would be a mistake to read this chapter as poetry that stands alone, it would also be a mistake to separate God's grace from God's judgment on sin. We are saved by grace, and there's nothing that will change that. Praise the Lord. But there is a real bad spiritual trap in thinking that because we're saved by grace, it doesn't matter what we do. Israel is in this mess because Israel, the Israelites, disobeyed God. And that disobedience is what led to the Israelites' political situation. The worst consequences of that is, of course, when Babylon occupies Israel. The people are exiled from all that they know. Sometimes we make the mistake of thinking that God's grace yields sin irrelevant. Doesn't matter what I do. Nothing could be further from the truth. At the very least, we need to always remind ourselves of what sin is. You see, when you insist on going your own way, following your own will, then you're creating spiritual exile. And that does not mean God is necessarily cutting you off. That means you cut God off. Throughout their ancient history, the Israelites had endless opportunities to bow down, to repent before God, but through it all, they forgot the blessings and refused to acknowledge Him. They became arrogant, self-sufficient. And that's what the prophet Isaiah is talking about through all those 39 chapters. But when you create space for Jesus in each and every endeavor in your life, then there is a freshness that the Holy Spirit can breathe into you. And you can begin to understand the turnaround. So my prayer for you is that you just have this wonderful, wonderful holiday, but keep close to God, because God will turn everything around for you. He is perfecting your situation even as you sit there and listen now. So stay with God. Thanks for joining me. Be blessed.
Thank you for tuning in. Roxbury Presbyterian Church is located at 328 Warren Street, right in the heart of Roxbury. Come worship with us on Sundays at 11 a.m. This is a listener-supported program. We invite you to partner with us and learn the many ways that love rules. Visit us on our website, roxburypresbyterianchurch.org, or call us at 617-445-2116.